Tonight we're going to talk about women and emotions. What? Not that I would know, but I have been told that women are emotional. Is that right? It's even rumored that sometimes women overreact. Not that I would know. Perhaps they would overreact to socks being left on the floor. Or an occasional beard hair left in the sink. Occasionally. Not that I would know. What? We are recording. Go ahead. Well, it has been said that women are emotional, and if that statement bothers you, then you may have just proven the point. Or how about this headline? Man brilliantly wins argument with wife by telling her to calm down. The truth is, generally speaking, women tend to be more emotional than men. Not always. You might be an exception. But as a general truth, that's the case. Women seem to be more in tune with their emotions. They feel things very deeply. They may cry easier than men. And not only is that the case, but that is by design. That's the way it is supposed to be. God has made it this way, and it's good. The Bible affirms the reality and the inherent goodness of emotions. It describes God as having a whole range of emotions. It talks about his anger, talks about his compassion, his grief, his love, his hatred, his jealousy, and his joy. And we see Jesus with tears. We see Jesus in dread and in agony. We see him in great joy, and we see him in anger. And because God created us in his image, we too have the capacity to feel all these emotions. It's good. Men feel them too, not just women. We have been created as beings that experience the world, experience relationships with one another, experience our relationship with God through emotions as being one of the vehicles in which we engage with one another. So emotions matter. They're God's idea. It's a good idea. The difficulty, of course, is in knowing their place. We can give in to sinful emotions or not have control over them. We can use them to manipulate others, or we can find ourselves just buried underneath them and enslaved to them, swept out to sea. So we need to know their place, what they are for. We need to know how to control them. And this is what we're going to be looking at tonight. This is an introductory session on how to manage your emotions for the glory of God. So we'll start here. Emotions reveal your beliefs.
Emotions reveal your beliefs. So, you have a belief that will lead to a certain emotion. Usually there is some event tied to that. Something has happened.
You have thought something. Out of that becomes a belief. And from that belief, an emotion comes. That's generally the way it works. Now, there are times when emotions can be the result of physical things like hormonal imbalances, thyroid issues, other medical reasons. That's for another day. But today we're talking specifically about this day-to-day reality that emotions are a product of what you believe. In other words, they reveal what's in your heart. Your emotions reveal what's in your heart. So, for example, if you believe that you are in danger, some strange person is following you down an alley, and you believe that you're in danger, you're going to feel fear, right? And if someone says, why are you afraid? Where does this come from? And you'll say, well, because I'm in danger. Your belief that you are in danger has produced this emotion of fear. It's tied to what you believe. Or if you believe that someone has been mean to your child, you're going to feel anger. Your anger is produced by that belief. There was an injustice done against my child. That's not right. Now I'm angry because of it. So that feeling, that belief, of injustice produces an emotion, in this case, anger. So emotions reveal beliefs. Now, since that is the case, our emotions can tell us an awful lot on what's going on inside of ourselves. We can use our emotions to do some good heart examination to better understand what it is we are thinking, what we believe. And we need to know what's going on inside if we're going to learn self-control, if we're going to learn how to use our emotions properly. Because the danger that you will face is you will be tempted to assume that the emotion that you are feeling is the correct one. That is an obvious assumption to make. I'm angry because I think I'm justified in this emotion. That's the assumption we make, that the emotion I feel is the correct one. You're going to be tempted to orient your world around those emotions, and you navigate your life by them, because the assumption is that what you are feeling is correct, given the situation. So that emotion then is what you build your life around. But it's not necessarily true, is it? What if you found out afterwards that you weren't in danger at all? That was just some guy walking down the alley with nothing. The fear was based on a false belief. You weren't in danger. Or maybe you found out that nobody was actually being mean to your child. Maybe your child was being mean to someone else. You might have a new anger now, if your child would do that. But the first anger actually was based on a false belief. It wasn't justified. You didn't know, but it's still true that the belief was false, was misplaced, and so that anger wasn't justified. And if you responded with the emotion, thinking I'm justified in feeling this emotion, you will find yourself giving in to sinful actions because your emotion isn't actually reflecting reality. It was a mistaken belief. And it's often the case with our beliefs that they are not in line with reality, which can lead to many mistaken or even sinful responses through our wrong emotions. You can spend years in depression, for example, because you never realized what lie you were believing on the inside. Maybe you believe, well, there's no hope in my situation. I've tried everything, there's no hope. That's a lie. There is hope. And if you believe that lie, that there's no hope, depression is very likely going to be what happens. That's where it will come from. All too often, we give up very quickly because we think that our emotions are correct, when in reality, they might be based on a lie. So you need to know what it is that you are believing, and that can get really complicated. But once you start to learn how to examine your beliefs, you're going to find a lot of things in your heart that you didn't know were there. There's going to be things that surprise you. Now, this sense of injustice is a big one. We'll kind of just skip along through this example. If you get annoyed at your husband, for example, with him leaving his socks on the floor, or perhaps it's happened so often you're not annoyed anymore, you're just angry because this keeps happening. You can evaluate what it is that you are believing in that moment. You want to think that you're justified in being annoyed or angry. But are you? And if you are, because you might be, how should you handle the situation? So when you walk into the room and you see the socks on the floor for the 10,000th time, what are you believing? Do you believe that he did it on purpose just to get at you? He knows it bothers you and he does it to spite you. He's like that. Believe that he does it to spite you, that he doesn't really love you, and he's going out of his way to make you mad because he knows that it will? Or do you believe that he just doesn't care? He's a thoughtless, foolish man. He knows, but he just doesn't care. Or do you believe that you have a God-given right to not have socks on the floor? Some of you might be surprised to find out that's exactly what you believe. That such things ought not to happen to you. It's an injustice. Your rights have been violated. You're a victim here, deserving of the swift and terrible punishment of the offender. That is what some of us believe unknowingly. You wouldn't say it that way. But when you examine what it is you are believing in this situation, sometimes you're surprised by what it is that you believe. So what do these kinds of beliefs bring about in us emotionally? Out of that comes anger, resentment or bitterness perhaps, depression, anxiety, distress in the marriage. Maybe he should know better, right? And there ought to be another conversation. We're going to get to that in a minute. But on the other hand, maybe he hasn't noticed. Maybe he doesn't remember. Maybe his mind is filled with work or something. And suddenly he's keenly aware that his wife is cold and glaring at him. And he has no idea what happened. And meanwhile, you're boiling up in anger. Your belief of an injustice has now produced a resentful marriage. Are you believing the right thing? Our beliefs will produce emotions, and our emotions reveal what it is that we believe. That has a corresponding emotion, a direct line. It's not the socks in particular, it's what you believe about them that is going to cause the emotion. So once you discover what it is you are believing in a situation, you can begin to examine it to see if it's legit. It might be. It might be perfectly legit. But do not make the mistake of believing that just because you feel like an injustice happened against you, that it has. That does not follow. That's a non sequitur. Because you feel like an injustice has happened against you, that does not yet mean that it has. That must be examined. If you do it that way, with that assumption, you're going to be led by your emotions. You'll become enslaved to them. And your emotions then become the reality to which all people must tiptoe around. And people around you will suffer emotional abuse, manipulation. If your emotions are your master, if they are your reality, then your family's in for a hard time, as are you. Rather, we are to use our emotions as a tool to examine our hearts, to find out what it is that we're believing, what's in here. We don't use them as a tool to interpret what's going on. We use them as a tool to interpret what you believe about what is going on. The emotions come after the belief, and they expose it. They don't define reality. Once you know this, you're going to have power to think clearly about how you're feeling. You don't have to be swept away. You can first stop and examine. What is the belief that has produced this emotion? If you know that they don't define reality, you'll be able to look at them from arm's length instead of being dominated by them. So, if we are able to discern our beliefs in the light of our emotions, what's next? What do we do? Next is to discern whether our beliefs are in line with the truth. Are you believing the right thing? I have had my beliefs brought to light through my emotion, and now I want to know if I got it right, because that makes all the difference. Am I believing the truth or am I believing the lies? So here, an event has happened. It's not the event that is the primary concern. It is our interpretation of it. Interpretation. Are you believing the truth about it? Or are you believing lies? Whatever it is you believe is going to create an emotion. If you are believing lies, your emotion is not going to be in alignment with reality, and now we're going to have problems. If you believe the truth, now your emotions will start to come in alignment with what is real, and God has given those emotions for a particular reason. We're getting to that. So we want to know, am I going in the right direction? Or am I headed off to a bad place? Here is where we start to gain control over our emotions and use them as God intends. The Bible tells us to put off falsehood and put on the truth. We have a responsibility to believe the truth. That really, really matters. We are going to be tempted that whatever I feel is the truth. Like, that is the correct interpretation. He did it to spite me, or he just doesn't care. Whatever. To use that example, you could use whatever example. If we make the assumption that my emotions are defining reality, they never get examined, and sin, lies start to take root. But we have a responsibility. God says, put off falsehood, put off lies. That's a command. So we need to be willing to be examined, not to spring onto those emotions and say, this is the truth, because I am mad, or I am sad, or I am depressed, or I'm anxious, or whatever it is. If I can put it this way, you may have no rights to that emotion if you've decided to believe a lie. God says, put off the lie and put on the truth. Then we start to have our emotions in line with reality, and we can use them as God intends. So we have a responsibility to believe the truth. You have a responsibility before the Lord to believe the truth. We are not free to make up our own truth. We are not free to justify our emotions as being the interpretation of the event. We don't have that freedom from the Lord. He has said, put off lies and put on truth. If we are believing lies, we have no right to the corresponding negative emotion. We're called to put off those lies. So often, we will have a mistaken belief that we have been mistreated when we haven't been. And we need to learn to look at that closely and call it rather by its biblical name, which is simply selfishness. We put labels on things to make it seem that we are not responsible or we are not guilty. Somehow it's outside of us. But if I've believed a lie that I'm the center of this story and things should be better for me, and when that's not true, the Bible looks at it and says, hey, that's selfishness. Let's call it for what it is. And we need to repent. Many of our most out-of-control emotions are a result of false beliefs that messes up our lives, our marriages, our homes, our children. So how would your emotions change if you believe that you have been mistreated or if you realize that you are being selfish? So on one hand, I think I've been mistreated. Something has happened in my home. This is an injustice. What do I feel? I'm indignant. I'm upset. It's like, this is not right. It's not fair. This has happened all these other times. Now I'm bothered. Now I'm annoyed. Now I'm mad because I have been mistreated. It's not right. But upon examination, I realize, oh, the other person didn't realize at all what they were doing. I wasn't mistreated at all. I was just being selfish. I thought things that weren't true. If I believe the lies in that situation, the lies that I've been mistreated, I believe that, my emotions are going to be anger, resentment, coldness, whatever. If, however, I come to see the truth, the correct interpretation, I haven't been mistreated. Oh, now I believe, and I've come to realize that I was being selfish in that situation. If I'm thinking clearly, proper emotion then is repentance. And I'm humbled. I'm thankful for the gospel. What you believe is going to affect what you believe. It will produce it. So our beliefs need to be examined. That's where the work is done. We're responsible to put off false beliefs, put on the truth. We can't use our emotions as weapons against others, or we cannot treat them as something we have no control over. It's just how I feel. I'm just mad. Deal with it. No. We're supposed to put away man's anger. We can't just say, I'm just mad. If you think you have a right to be just mad, you're believing a lie. We don't have a right to be just mad. That's something we have to discern. So once we are oriented to a place where believing the truth, where we are believing a truth about the situation, then we start to have confidence that our corresponding emotions are correct. I'm feeling some sort of emotion over a certain event that's happened. Oh man, what is it that I'm believing? Why am I sad? Why am I angry? Why am I happy? What's going on? What's going on? And you come through, and you do the hard work, and you put off the lies. Whatever is the truth about the situation, okay, now I believe that. This is what is true. Now you start to have confidence that your corresponding emotion is reflecting reality as it ought to. What is the truth of the situation? Back to the socks. Did your husband deliberately try to antagonize you? Is that what he did? Did he just forget? Or does he not even know that it matters to you as much as it does? Or are you just an angry woman? What's the truth? That's what we want. We want to discern the truth of what's going on in here. That's where the beliefs are coming from. Once we discern the truth, we put that on. Then your emotions come in line. Now, if your husband is out to get you, he's doing it just to spite you, then you've got a problem. And we're getting to that. We're almost there. But if he honestly forgot or he had no idea and you're still angry, then the problem is most likely with you. And you are believing something that isn't true about that situation. We have way more insight into our beliefs than sometimes we even know. So then, our emotions point us all the way back to something that has happened, right? There's some sort of an event, something that I've thought or experienced, something that's happened, I've done, or it's been done to me, and I have emotion. That emotion then points me back to what I believe about it, what has happened. They point back to what has happened, then they point internally to what we have believed about what has happened, and then they point us forward to what we ought to do. So our emotions, correctly oriented, are meant to spur us into action. That's why you have them. That's why they're there. Something has happened. And I have an emotion that I got to figure out. Why am I sad today? Why am I angry all the time? What's going on inside? It's like, well, I'm believing something, aren't I? What is it that I'm believing? Is it true? Is it a lie? Let's figure that out. Once we know the truth, now my emotion starts to reflect reality. And out of that, we are driven to action. God has given us emotions to drive us to action, not just to reveal what has happened and what we believe inside, but he has given them to us to drive us to action. They give us the energy and the focus we need to accomplish the work ahead. When our emotions are right, we then use them as God intends to spur us toward correct action. Maybe we need to repent. Maybe we need to rebuke someone. Or maybe we need to rejoice and be thankful. Consider this. In Psalm 38, David identifies his symptoms of depression. He is depressed. He talks about it. Psalm 38. And that rightly drove him to seek God and to confess his sin. So he cries out to God for help. His depression was rooted in a right assessment of the situation. He was guilty of sin, and he needed to repent. Now, depression isn't always a result of sin. In this situation, it was. He needed to discern. God gave him this emotion of guilt, of depression, to drive him to do what was needed. He couldn't live with himself. He was depressed, and he describes his anguish, and it's so bothering him. He can't deal with it. It's so bad. What has happened? And he realizes he has sinned to repent of. The depression had a purpose. It had a God-given purpose. Now, as a society, we will often try to drug away normal human emotions, such as depression, something that God has given for a purpose. We think sadness is unusual. Maybe we believe that I have a right to be happy. That's my belief. My belief is I have a right to be happy. And if I'm not happy, then something is wrong. And I have a right to be depressed because whatever is bad. And often the action that gets taken is a doctor prescribes a pill so that I don't feel sad anymore. And what happens then? That situation never gets resolved, does it? I become dependent on either the drug that's been prescribed. I become dependent on my phone, my distraction. I become dependent perhaps on gossip. I become dependent on alcohol. I become dependent on TV. I become dependent on food. Whatever it is that we turn to try to get rid of that depression. There's all kinds of options. I'm going to try all kinds of things to try to get rid of the depression instead of feeling what God wants me to feel. in order to spur me on to getting the help that I need. The depression is meant to spur us on to action. Now, I know this is treading on thin ice. Many have been on antidepressants. There was one time in my life when I was on antidepressants. However, the point that I'm making is medication does not deal with the matters of the heart. Just like food doesn't deal with matters of the heart. Your phone doesn't deal with matters of the heart. Your distractions, they don't deal with the matters of the heart. Neither does medication. Our struggles with emotions are most often a matter of the heart. Now, this is a really massive topic, but one worthy of a lot of thought. As I said right at the start, I just want to reemphasize this again. There can be physical reasons why we're struggling with depression, because we're talking about that. Maybe the hormones are all out of whack. That can happen, and you can feel depression. The important thing to remember is medication can sometimes help. But if you have a medical reason that makes it really hard to deal with your emotions, that doesn't give you a license to sin with them. If you think that it does, you're back here. I have a thyroid issue, so I'm just going to be mad all the time and everyone can deal with it because I have a medical issue. And so if I'm short-tempered, tough. You're sitting here. You're believing a lie. We don't have a license to sin because we have a legitimate struggle in our body. Now, that's tough. That places an extra burden on the one who has that type of health issue. It's hard. We don't speak lightly of that at all. It's a really, really big topic. But a lot of our anxieties and our depression would leave if we put off the lies we are believing and started putting on the truth of God. Sometimes we suffer for years because we have never understood what lies have taken root in our hearts. So the medication can be helpful. I'm not saying that's bad. But medication on its own doesn't deal with matters of the heart. It doesn't touch your heart. That needs to be examined as well. We are not just physical beings. We are spiritual beings as well. And sometimes we are reluctant to have the spiritual surgeon do its work because it might reveal sin that I have to repent of. I'd rather blame it on a bodily issue. And it might be. But we need to do that examination. We have to be willing to be examined. We're looking for true healing. If the lies never get exposed, you never have the lies exposed in your life, so you never put them off, you're going to be on the treadmill of whatever that's producing in your life. Round and round you will go because you're still believing a lie. You're believing a lie, believing a lie. And putting on the truth is perhaps harder than we might think. It's one thing to say, you know, you need to believe that Jesus loves you. You're like, okay, Jesus loves me. I got it. I'm okay with that. But I'm still mad. The mental assent that Jesus loves you is right and good. But that has to work all the way down into the heart, into a true belief. And that takes work. It usually doesn't happen just in a second. It takes a lot of work. We have built some deep habits of lies that we have believed over years and years, perhaps. And it takes work to root those out, to even discover them. Socks on the floor might have nothing to do with socks on the floor whatsoever. It might have to do with a completely different belief that you have about how you thought your life was going to turn out. And the socks just happen to be the spot, the occasion where your anger can spring up. It has nothing to do with them whatsoever. Exposing the lies can be difficult. But the Word of God can get us there. We're going to get off the treadmill. So all these other numbing mechanisms, be it medicine, be it your phone, be it food, whatever it is you turn to, none of them have a remedy to fight lies. None of them will change lies that we may have come to believe. And if God has given us emotions to reveal our beliefs, we want to be very careful about quickly numbing those emotions. They're there for a reason. They're there to spur us on to action. So we need to know that God has given us our emotions for a purpose, to drive us to action, to drive us to Him like David. So, back then to the socks on the floor. Say that you have examined the situation and you find that your husband really is being thoughtless about it. He's just a big meanie. You've talked to him numerous times about how it bothers you, and at this point he's just ignoring you. He doesn't care. And so you have been mistreated. Okay, so now you have confidence that there actually is a real offense here. Your feeling of injustice is legit. Right? You're feeling upset, frustrated. Why? My husband should know better. He should know better. I've told him 100 times. Or 1,000, and he's ignoring me. He doesn't care. Is that true? You find it? Yeah, that is true. He did that despite me. That emotion of indignation now is in alignment with reality. There has been an injustice. It really has happened. So now, right now, you got this emotion. Now you're upset. Now you're angry or annoyed. Something's a little fired up. What is that energy for? What is that emotion for? If God has given us the capacity to feel emotions, he has given them for a purpose. Well, now I got one. Now I got one that isn't pleasant. What's that for? Why did God give me that emotion? I've been mistreated. And I have a legitimate complaint. Well, the Bible has an awful lot to say about what to do when we are mistreated, doesn't it? Of course it does. That's what the energy is for. Does the Bible say that you have a right to yell at your husband because he genuinely mistreated you? Well, no, it doesn't say that. Does it say that you have a right to be cold towards him, to shut him out? No, it doesn't say that either. What does it say? It says a lot. It says to love. It says to bear up. It says to forgive. It says to suffer for doing right. It says to bless those who mistreat you. It says to pray for them. It says to go to God with your trouble. And it says to go talk to the one who has sinned against you. And you can find a whole lot more verses that will tell you what to do in that situation. And believe me, you're going to need that energy and that emotion to see that through. If you channel the energy into anger, I have a right to be angry. And I have a right then to be vengeful against him. I'm right here, believing lies. But I have been mistreated. The Lord says to let love cover over a multitude of sins, to be willing to suffer for doing what is right. He has told me to go talk respectfully to my husband. All of this is really hard. That's going to take a lot of energy. And God's like, there you go. That's why I gave it to you. Channel that energy to godly use. Why do you think it says that man's anger doesn't achieve God's purposes? Because man's anger is based on a lie that I'm the center of the story. It's about me, and I have been mistreated. Now look out, the old man's coming, and I'm mad. God says, no, that's not how it's done. God's anger is concerned about righteousness, about holiness. And that anger has a purpose to push towards holiness, not a push towards satisfying myself. So the energy that you are given. So even on a positive side, something great has happened and you're rejoicing, right? Awesome. I'm rejoicing because I believe that my child has repented of the sin and come to salvation. Is it true? Yes, I was there. I believe that is true. This rejoicing is correct. Why do you have it? Why do you have it? It's supposed to spur you to action, to glorify God, to praise him. There should be a world of energy in your heart with an event such as that. Now you come with shouts of joy and praise and thanksgiving. That's using the energy of the emotion for what it was intended. That energy is meant for that. So then in obedience, you strive to do those things that the Bible tells you to do, which then bring about a righteous result in your heart, which leads to overcoming the bad emotions and replaces them with the joy of the Lord. The socks no longer throw you into turmoil, and congratulations, you have just discovered the secret of self-control. That's how it's done. That's exactly how it's done. This emotion is going to lead me to action. My action is going to be obedient, whatever that might mean in your situation. I'm going to do what is right. The Bible tells me what to do in that situation. So, what I do is an event. I'm going to go speak to him. Or I can just clean them up. It's not that big of a deal. He's been extra stressed at work these days. Whatever. But you're doing it out of obedience to God. Now you have a new event. The truth is, I did it out of love for my God, because that's what he told me to do. I did that. And it's true. And now instead of the frustration I felt a minute ago when I saw the socks on the floor, I have joy in my heart, because I'm walking in obedience. And I can say, thank you, Lord. And I can bless my husband. That is how self-control over our emotions work. And I can map it out for you like that. Doing it's another thing entirely, because our emotions are powerful. And there can be a lot of other factors. It might not just be the socks on the floor. There can be a lot of things. And sometimes it takes a deep examination and a number of conversations with someone who can help you, to help you understand what it is that you are really believing. It's not always that simple. Or I should say, it is that simple. It's not always that easy. So, one example I want to give you. Psalm 73. This is Asaph. Asaph is jealous. And he's really upset about what he sees. And he wants to tell us the story. He says, my feet almost stumbled. I was in trouble. Why? He goes, I had an emotion. I was envious. I was envious of the arrogant. I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He says, they're fat and happy, fat and sleek. Fat and happy sounds good. They're fat and happy. They're fat and sleek. They're not in trouble. They're violent. They do whatever they want. They get away with everything. They are rich. I am jealous. He says, I was envious of them. They don't acknowledge God. And then he says, more than that, everything is vain that I have kept my heart clean. I have done what is right, and it hasn't helped me at all. All day long I have been stricken. I've been rebuked every morning. He was jealous. He was in despair, and depression, and anger. I do the right thing, and everything goes bad. And the wicked people down the street do everything wrong, and they have everything going right. And he says, but when I thought how to understand this, he starts to go back. I'm believing something here. It's created a lot of emotion. I can't live with this. I can't live with this emotion. This something's very wrong here. This is not right. So he says, but I thought to understand this. As I went to discover what was the truth. And he says, then I discerned their end. And he says, God will destroy them. They will be swept away. They will. He goes, when my soul was embittered, I was pricked in the heart. I was brutish and ignorant. I walked like a beast before you. I was jealous of the wicked. And it was lies. It was lies. When he went into the sanctuary, he discovered the truth. That righteousness would prevail. Righteousness would prevail. The wicked do not get away with it. And his envy was based on a lie. And once he realized that, now he was no longer depressed or anxious about doing righteousness, because then he realized the wicked are punished, but the righteous are rewarded. That's the truth. And you put off the lies. Truth is, God defends his people and he will punish the righteous. He didn't know that. He goes, I almost slipped. I was believing the wrong thing, and that led to all these emotions. Those emotions drove me to examine. I got to look into this. I got to find out. And then it emboldened him. Now he was believing the right thing. If I do the right thing, and I'm walking in righteousness and holiness before God, now it was producing joy in his life, and he had a recommitment to holy living. I'm going to walk in righteousness even more, because now I know the truth. Now I know the truth. Psalm 73 is an awesome example of exactly that process right there. And he was in deep despair. He said, I almost slipped. He was accusing God of all kinds of falseness. God, you don't care. You let the wicked get away with everything. You don't think of me. You don't love me. I am unloved. All those complaints. And he says, I got to figure this out. Something's way wrong. Those negative emotions were meant to spur him on to examine his belief. Psalm 73 is beautiful. A beautiful example of how this process works. So he put off that lie that the wicked prosper, and he put on the truth that God rescues the righteous. Then his jealousy was replaced with contentment, and he used that joy, that energy, to further his commitment to holiness. And now a new event happened as he starts to walk in holiness, and he has joy in his life again where depression used to be, despair, anger, envy. So our emotions are powerful tools, tools to examine the heart, tools to discern our beliefs, and tools to drive us to take action. That's why we have them. They're good. They're so good. They're so good. And it can be really hard to manage them. Depending what's going on in your life, depending what's going on in your heart and mind, and depending what's going on in your actual physical body. All of that can come into play. It's complex. But women, men too, but we're talking to the ladies, women who run their life by their emotions, who don't examine their beliefs or be humbled before what is actually true, they end up like rudderless boats. They're always tossed to and fro on the waters, all over the place. There's no anchor, there's no steering, there's no shore. And that is not what God has for you. He gives us the light of his word and the power of his spirit so that we can overcome. Perhaps you can't overcome a thyroid issue and it causes deep emotions that you can't control. You can overcome the temptations to sin that might come out of that. Absolutely. And as you overcome the temptations to sin, even though there is heartache, there is also joy. Because you see the power of the Spirit in your life. It overcomes. It always overcomes. So we don't have to be slaves to our fears, to our worries, or our sadness. There's a lot more that we need to learn in this area. This is kind of a flyover, an introductory session of how we handle our emotions. There's a lot of freedom to be gained as we learn to be examined and have those beliefs come to light. Some of those beliefs go way back. You'd be totally surprised what it is that you're believing. You think it's this issue here, and you realize, oh, something happened to me when I was 12, and I still think that, right? I still think that. I had a friend in grade 4 who, for some reason, I never did find out, decided one day he didn't want to be my friend anymore. Like, he says, I just don't like you anymore, and we were done. And we and I were best of friends. And it came out of the blue. It shocked me utterly, and it hurt me so bad that to this day I have to be careful that I don't be cynical that someone doesn't like me, because that one hurt. I did not see it coming. I didn't know why. Something is wrong with me. Nobody likes me. If my best friend doesn't like me, then nobody can. And that's then what I believed. And so fast forward years and years later when I had trouble maintaining friendships or finding friends, like, why don't I want to open my heart to somebody? And as I thought it through, I realized, you know what? Back in grade 4, I had a cementing moment where an emotion was cemented in my heart and my mind. This is what's true. Nobody likes me. Nobody could, because there's something wrong with me. I believe that. And that produced all kinds of fear in me, in distance. And I had to break the lie because it's not true. It's not true. So sometimes it gets complicated. Sometimes it goes deep. But we want to boldly trust God and walk in his paths. His word is sufficient for life and godliness. There are things to discover. And you'll be surprised to see what might be there. And you'll be delighted in overcoming in areas where you have not been able to. The joy of the Lord awaits those who are willing to be examined by the word. It's incredibly hard and complex, but it is that simple. That is the secret to how it is done. Each one of you will have your own story, and each one of you will wonder how you can do that. I'm speaking to a group, not to an individual. I don't know your individual story, but we'll all have our points of heartache and fear and discouragement and all of that. But that's the process. And out of that, we can walk in victory and we can again find the joy of the Lord that we feel like we have lost so long ago. Putting off the lies and putting on the truth. Faithful, patient. And by God's grace, we come out of the dark and step back into the light and find our joy again.